good afternoon, guys. This is Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here on Planet FM 104.6 every Tuesday from 12.30 to 1.30. I am Declan Curran, standing in for Sheldon Brown, who's away again today, and just spoke with him this morning. And Take It From Us is brought to you by Ember Services Limited, who fund and support the show. So without them, we wouldn't be here. I'm going to do a show today which is taking some bits and pieces out of another book I've got, and it's by Dr. Phil. You'll probably know Dr. Phil, Dr. Phil McGraw. He's pops. I don't know if he's still on, actually. He used to be on TV3 and doing his bits and pieces. Lots of cat fights on the screen. It was always good if he wanted a good argument to come up, and sometimes I think those arguments got a bit heated, but yeah. Anyway, you've got me for the day. A special shout out there to a friend of mine I was talking to this morning who will be listening in live from the UK, Jersey Island. So hello, Jono, welcome aboard. You get to hear my voice again and some music for your late evening, because over there now it will be roughly 11:30 at night. Anyhow, today's show may bring up some issues for you, so if you do require any assistance, 1737, you can phone or text at any time, and you can also phone Lifeline on 0800 543 354 or text HELP to 4357. There's a little bit out of Dr. Phil's book who says, for those of us who are experiencing mental distress, you are not a second-class citizen. You do not have some inadequacy or spiritual deficiency that should cause you to be ashamed or cower from dealing with or talking about this problem. It also talks about what a mental health breakdown is. There's no simple answers and certainly no single causes of the many and varied forms of mental illness. Most experts agree that the triggers for mental instability include biological factors such as hormonal imbalances, fatigue and or lack of sleep, exposure to toxic environments, genetic dispositions that we inherit, and the numerous social and psychological stresses that we are forced to react to throughout our lives. And these are only the minimum number of considerations when we evaluate a case, as there are always variations, sometimes in very complex combinations. So any imbalance or disruption in any of those areas, such as a stressful life event, an emotional upheaval, or even a change of medication, can result in far-fetching consequences. For some people, tendencies toward mental illness have already come packed up in your family's DNA. And I think Sheldon would agree with me there that, and I know on my side of the family anyway, well, both sides actually, I think, on mum and dad's side, that if we trace back, we can see that there have been other people that have experienced similar or, if not similar, some form of mental distress over the years. And they're saying just as certain people are genetically predisposed to being overweight or to being an alcoholic, others are predisposed to mental illness. And in fact, this guy, Phil, said his own family has struggled with mental disorders on both sides. In order to deal with those mental dysfunctions, you have to identify or at least understand it enough to talk to yourself about it. He says he's received many letters over the years from people asking whether or not some pattern of contact or conduct or behaviour is normal. And that's one of the things I say is when you are going through some form of trauma, you find your new normal. And for me, it's finding that place where you can get back as close as possible to where you were. It's not always in the same spot, but if you can find that little happy place where you feel at peace, that's a good start. And that's not an easy place to find for a lot of people. I found for me it took a fair while to get myself back on the tracks. And there's a lot of guilt that comes with that, that I felt I let my family down, and quite ashamed and very self-conscious of it all. So it's something that you can't help yourself, you know. It's don't feel bad or guilty about it, but, you know, you sort of do. There is that fear how your family and friends are going to react. And I guess in the case of friends, that really shows who your genuine true friends are, because they're the ones that will stick with you, as I say, not just for the good times and the partying and that. They'll stick with you when it's most needed, when your times are looking rather dark. Dr. Phil says that he reads the letters that he gets, pretty much thinking that whoever's written them has decided that the conduct in question's not normal, or that they wouldn't be asking. And he says, nevertheless, I almost always give the same answer, and it's, if the pattern of conduct or behaviour is disrupting your flow of life or keeping you from healthy goals, he considers it to be abnormal. If a pattern of conduct or behaviour is quirky or in some way atypical, but it doesn't interfere with your life or pursuit of happy, healthy goals and objectives, then by definition, I would consider it normal regardless of how idiosyncratic or even eccentric it might appear to others. And he says that with the qualification, the person is not dangerous to themselves or others. On the other hand, narcissistic personalities, sociopaths, and mental, physical, or emotional abusers are not what he'd call quirky or eccentric. No. He says, because while they may believe that their lives are working just fine and may appear to be quite happy, their impact on others is not okay. If they're sick and damaging to themselves and others, it's appropriate to call for help. So I'm going to peel off there for a bit of music. Now today I'm going to have... Well, I've got one song going back to the 70s, but I've just discovered that on my little smart Amazon Echo show and on my phone, I can now get my radio station out of Far North Queensland in Cairns that I used to listen to 21 years ago. So as I heard some of the latest hits coming out of there from 2020 and 2021, I thought, oh, good, I could share that with my listeners. So the first one I've got up for you today, in fact, two of them have got the same title, believe it or not. Just one's got dots in between all the letters. This first song is called Holy, H-O-L-Y, from Florida Georgia Line. It came out in 2016, this particular one, and it hit number 14 on the US. And once again, you're listening to Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting live right here every Tuesday, 12:30 through to 1:30 on 104.6 Planet FM.
Came and the sky fall to only bring the rain. I sat in darkness, all broken hearted. I couldn't find a day, I didn't feel alone. I never meant to cry, started losing hope. But somehow, baby, you broke through and saved me. You're an angel, tell me you're never leaving. Cause you're the first thing nights. You're the riverbank where I was baptized, cleansed from the demons that were killing my freedom. Let me lay it down, give me to ya, get you singing, babe, hallelujah. We'll be touching heaven. You're an angel, tell me you never leave it. Cause you're the first thing can't believe in your holy, 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 I'm high saving grace. You're my kind of church. You're holy.
Yo, it was 103. I was going to say the station that I listened to up in the north. It's just 103.5. Yo, it was 104.6. Planet FM. Get myself on the right page. We're Mental Health Radio, broadcasting every Tuesday, 12:30 to 1:30, right here. And we are Take It From Us. The psychiatrist William Glass's basic model for good mental health is this, and he says you're mentally healthy if you enjoy being with most of the people you know, especially with the important people in your life such as family, sexual partners and friends. Generally, you are happy and more than willing to help an unhappy family member, friend or colleague to feel better. You lead a mostly tension-free life, laugh a lot and rarely suffer from the aches and pains that so many people accept as an unavoidable part of life. You enjoy life and have no trouble accepting other people who think and act differently from you. It rarely occurs to you to criticise or try to change anyone. If you have differences with someone else, you will try to work out the problem, and if you can't, you'll walk away before you argue and increase the difficulty. And how many times I'm trying to tell myself now, if you don't like it, button up and move on. Sometimes it's just not worth the aggro, particularly if you've got somebody who's headfast and they're not going to listen or change anyway. So it doesn't mean you fail. You're probably the stronger of the lot because you've decided I'm not going to engage in this and I'm just going to walk away. You're creative in what you attempt and enjoy more of your potential than you ever thought possible. Finally, even in very difficult situations when you are unhappy, and no one can be happy all the time, you'll know why you're unhappy and you'll attempt to do something about it. You may even be physically handicapped and still fit the criteria above. And that's quite interesting, actually, because I was watching the Sunday program on, I think it was TV1 on Sunday night, and they were talking about the earthquake at Christchurch coming up for its 10th anniversary on the Monday. And there was a girl there that had been trapped, and I think she'd been there about 12 hours in the end, and she had to have both of her legs taken off. But the positivity coming from her and just how she looked at life and got on and still had her sense of humour, I just thought, wow. And here's somebody who's confined to a wheelchair. She loved her shoes, still does love them, and she's got a couple of fake legs that she can put on, so she puts the shoes onto those. So there you go. You may not have legs, but you can still get it on with your shoes, I guess. The next track I've got for you is from Tony Orlando and Dawn. It goes back to 1970, and it hit, where did it hit? In the UK it hit number one, and it did the same in the USA. So if you've got any problems where you're at the moment and you're in a multi-level building or you're, you know, high density or something, you might want to do this. It's Knock Three Times.
Hey girl, what you doing down there? Dancing alone every night while I live right above you. I can hear your music playing. I can feel your body swaying. One floor below me, don't even know me, I love you. Oh my darling,
knock three times
on the ceiling
if you want me. Twice on the pipe
if the answer is no. Oh my sweetness, means you
meet me in the
you meet me in the hallway. Whoa, twice on the pipe
means you ain't gonna show.
Taylor Swift from 2020. It's a song called Willow, UK number 3 and US number 1. Planet FM, and take it from us, Mental Health Radio, Tuesday from 12:30 through to 1:30. That was Taylor Swift and Willow. I think she came up in the news in the last couple of days. Isn't she trying to wrestled back control of her finances from her father? Bit of a drama there, but I guess when you look at it, what a musician goes through their life without any drama at all? that is a good one to go and research, I suppose. It might take a while to find the answer, though. If anything in the show does come up and cause you any concern for yourself or anybody else, you can text or phone 1737, or you can contact Lifeline on 0800 543 354. That's 0800 543 354. And you phone them on their number, or you can text HELP to 4357. That's HELP to 4357. Just been browsing over a little bit in this book while the music's been going, and it's got five myths about mental illness. And I want to share something with you first, that if somebody says to me, oh, you're mental, I turn around and go, yes, I am. And I'm officially certified. What's your excuse? That usually shuts them up and sends them on their bike pretty fast. Usually, otherwise you need to get on your bike pretty fast. So myth number one about mental illness is that people who are mentally ill are dangerous or violent. And we've talked about this, Sheldon and I, on the station, on the show before. The reality is that although there are extreme cases where sufferers have reported being guided by voices to hurt themselves or others, the vast majority are non-violent. In fact, those suffering from mental illness are 2.5 times more likely to be the victims of crime rather than the perpetrators. That's something I didn't know. Myth number two, people who have a mental disorder are less intelligent than those who don't. Well, I think, was it Vincent van Gogh who had schizophrenia? And look at the fame and fortune he got. So there's quite a few famous people that have been very productive. The reality is that mental illness affects people regardless of intelligence, social status, education or income, and it frequently affects those of average or above average intelligence. In fact, some of America's greatest writers, scientists and musicians, as I just said, and politicians, okay, suffered from mental illness even as they were making extraordinary contributions to our history and culture. Do politicians do that? I don't know. I'll leave that for you to decide. Myth number three, most mentally ill people end up poor and on the streets because they can't hold a job. The reality is that every day people manage mental dysfunction. Most hold jobs, raise kids, have relationships and involve themselves in their communities and churches. And actually some of the, you know, well, pretty much all the guests we've had on our show, the talents that they've got, whether it be art, music, writing, it's just really incredible. Some of the stuff that has been produced by them is just stunning. Myth number four, people with a mental illness have some kind of character deficiency or moral weakness. The reality is that mental disorders have nothing to do with character weakness or a lack of willpower. It simply may be a sign that coping abilities are broken down that need to be addressed and brought back into full working order. This can result from external stress and social pressures or a biological dysfunction, which is either organic or an internal source that needs to be balanced and restored. And myth number five is that mental illness is a life sentence. The reality is that many mental disorders can be treated effectively through programs, support plans and, if necessary, medication. The most important step is to acknowledge that there is a problem so that you can get the help needed. So that's what mental illness isn't, but unfortunately it's not quite as simple to nail down what it is. And it says here what to expect. An initial clue for you that something may be mentally off course is inappropriate behaviour in social settings. Well, I do that all the time anyway, so, okay. As things start to snowball, differences often become more pronounced and inconvenience can turn into disruption. People around the mentally ill person may start to pull away in fear and may judge them with labels. If you believe that you or someone you love is falling apart or having a breakdown or simply going off the deep end, there's hundreds of diagnoses that can be assigned to you. Such labels may help by identifying the specific challenges to be expected, but the same labels may have a negative pigeonholing effect, in no small part for insurance purposes, which can sometimes result in failing to recognise individual differences and needs. And having said all that, basically the problems that you or a loved one are experiencing are likely to fall under one of the three major categories of mood disturbances, anxiety disorders or more severe disorders that are generally classified as psychoses. And he's quoting there, which I won't go into. This book's going back 6 years, but he brings up some statistics from, I'm sure you've all heard about it, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 4th edition, DSM, DSM-4. Yeah, okay. They're still using the Roman numerals on there and trying to catch me on the hop. Naughty possums. Okay, so back to the music. Right. I've got Miley Cyrus for you now. From 2020, I've been hearing all these hits actually on my station. I finally found this features Dua Lipa, if I've pronounced that correctly. The song's called Prisoner, released in 2020, and on the UK it came in at number 8. So here is Prisoner, from take it from us, Mental Health Radio, brought to you every Tuesday live from 12:30 to 1:30 on 104.6 Planet FM. talk about Keep It In The Family. That track was from Pink, called Cover Me In Sunshine, and it's with her 9-year-old daughter who you heard towards the end there, Willow Sage Hart, and that's released this year. I've been hearing some really good tracks lately and thought, oh gosh, I've got to bring those in and share them. Anyways, if you have any issues with what's coming up today, then you can phone or text 1737. You can call Lifeline on 0800 543 354. That's 0800 543 354. Or you can text HELP to 4357. This is Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 right here on 104.6 Planet FM. It's brought to you and funded by Ember Services. I'm Declan Curran. I'm usually sitting in the cheap seats pushing the buttons with Sheldon Brown. He is taking an extended break at the moment. Got a few things going on that he's got to deal with. Warning signs of suicide. Okay. Although women are almost twice as likely as men to suffer from depression, men are 2 to 4 more times more likely to commit depression-based suicide. Even so, there's no typical suicide victim. It happens to young and old, sick and well, rich and poor, and some people certainly take their own lives without overly displaying any typical warning signs, while others may display the signs and never act on them. So here's some common red flags that may help alert you to the fact that you or someone you love is at risk. If you're threatening or they're threatening to hurt or kill oneself, or talking about wanting to hurt somebody else, looking for ways to kill oneself by seeking access to firearms, available pills or other means, taking or writing about death, dying or suicide when these actions are out of the ordinary for the person, feeling hopeless, feeling rage or uncontrolled anger or seeking revenge, acting reckless or engaging in risky activities, seemingly without thinking, and feeling trapped like there's no way out, increasing alcohol or drug use, withdrawing from friends, family and society, feeling anxious, agitated or unable to sleep, or sleeping all the time, experiencing dramatic mood changes, and seeing no reason for living or having no sense of purpose in life. So I've said here that Dr. Phil says he's not suggesting that just one or two of these signs means you're at risk. The risk factor goes back to the original meaning of what he considers abnormal. And he says, are any of these examples detrimental to a person's ability to function in life and achieve his or her life goals? The more specific the problem is, the easier it is to resolve it. However, it's usually an accumulation of factors that keeps you stuck in a quagmire of confusion that only professional guidance can get through to the basic problems. And I think that's one of the very important things, is having those very trusted, reliable friends who are always there for you, and who will, other than in cases where you are immediately in danger, will respect your request for privacy and confidentiality. I know when I had my first episode relating coming up to a suicidal event, I basically, because how my dad had reacted when he thought things were happening, and basically left a message on my answer machine which he wished he could have erased before I walked home on Christmas morning of 1998. Got home about 3 in the morning, and he had left a message there saying, look, you know, you've got a job, you've got a car, you've got this and that, get your act together and get on with it, which was really the last thing I needed to come home to. So for about a week, I just said to the clinical staff that I was dealing with, I was back home. They actually released me out and to home again on the same night morning, which I don't know really was potentially a good idea. But thankfully, everything was all okay. And for a week, I said to them, look, I don't want any phone calls or anything else. I'll just send them a little letter and that sort of thing to say I'll be in touch again in a week or so when I get back up. And I think the number one reason for that was the message that was left wasn't intended to be harsh. And I think the thing is that sometimes our relatives, we're frightened that relatives or friends may take that aggressive, abrupt approach that says, you know, get it together, get on with it. And that's not what we need. We need somebody who can unconditionally listen to us and not judge us or criticise, and even not try and find the answers, the solutions to what we're going through, because quite often that's not what we need. We need somebody to help share the load and get us through it. So I've got a couple of things here that is talking about getting back to better days. And it talks about being able to minimise the disruption and maximise the recovery. And I always see recovery, it's a road to recovery rather than a destination. And I think sometimes, it'd be nice to think we could snap our fingers and everything's okay. For a lot of us, in reality, it means changing our lifestyles and having medications and other forms of therapies and that sort of thing to get through events. And that's very true, very typical of what I've been hearing lately. Very sad that so many soldiers overseas are sent off to create to fight a war that isn't their own, basically, against people they have no problem with and don't even know. And in America, they come back home and they're basically trying to adjust back into life and so forth. So unfortunately, a lot of them are casualties of post-traumatic stress. And when it becomes prolonged, it becomes post-traumatic stress disorder. So, I feel particularly for them. Anyway, here are some do's and don'ts to better equip you in dealing with the challenges of this day. Don't become a slave to a label. Remember that descriptions of feelings and emotional responses are merely descriptors of behaviour and they don't reflect the quality of the individual. Don't take drugs from anyone except your doctor. Medications are intended to be specific to an individual's needs. And in fact, some of these drugs, these illegal substances that people are taking, are actually causing some of them to have psychoses and end up with diagnoses of, as I understand it, things like bipolar psychosis or schizophrenia. So there's a lot more danger in some of these things than perhaps we realise. Not to feel guilty. And these days, that can happen for a multitude of reasons. But guilt implies intent, and that certainly doesn't fit here, because you or your loved one did not intend to lose your mental and or emotional grip. And I think that's the big thing people need to realise, is that prolonged depression. I've said to people, do you really honestly think we would choose to be depressed if we could find some way of being happy, if we could work through this, if we could discover and understand and identify what it is we're going through? Do you think we want to stay in bed all day? People that haven't gone through it quite often don't understand it. Don't consider mental illness as a moral issue in which you or someone you love is suffering in life as the result of sins or religious transgressions. It's true that mental illness can cause doubts or create unusual spiritual expressions, such as actually thinking you're a deity or God. Don't shun a person with mental illness as human beings. They are deserving of all the love they can receive, and love can be very healing. There's some do's in here as well to seek psychotherapy and counselling. When things begin to overwhelm you and enter into our definition of mental illness, you'll likely need professional help because you may be well over your head. And of course, these people are trained to deal with these things. Psychotherapy and counselling before and both of them can be highly effective ways of dealing with depression and anxiety, and can help you to redirect your life rather than focusing on everything being bad and overwhelming. And that's really hard to do, because when you get yourself into that deep dark mode, like I found myself in sometimes, I think, how on earth do I crawl back out of this? But knowing it's for me, it's like being on the down escalator trying to walk up, and you know that if you stop, that escalator's taking you down, so you're sort of fighting to get yourself back up and well again, wondering what the heck's going on and how you're going to do it. So don't ever feel bad about having to, you don't have to deal with it alone. And if I think the crucial things for me are having a really, really trusting doctor that's almost a friend prior to the COVID thing, get a big hug when she saw you and when you left, and a very supportive psychiatrist who, you know, I've said, oh, I've got concerns that, you know, I might have problems with wins or something like that. And he said, look, don't worry about those sort of things. I think that's the important thing too, is to know that you've got health professionals there who understand, who are working for you and with you, and can de-stress that, take that sort of stuff away. I've found my interactions with Wins have always been good, but that doesn't mean to say that it's sent my heartbeat skyrocketing through the roof of my mouth every time I get an envelope that says, you know, Ministry of Social Development. You think, oh God, what's it going to be? So that creates anxiety straight away, and more often than not when you open it up, it's just to tell you that here comes your winter allowance extra for your power and that sort of thing. Anyway, what you'll also learn is that it's not necessarily the events in your life that affect you, but your reaction to them that counts. I've been talking about this since the first chapter of the book, he says, but it bears repeating. You can't change what's going to happen to you. You simply don't have that much control. However, you can, if you're neurochemically balanced, change how you react. And I think that's the big thing. I went out of my scooter over the weekend and came back home and thought, oh, I almost got home and realised I had a flat tyre on my scooter. So my immediate thoughts, how am I going to get this home? I'm not going to panic too much. So I managed to get it back home and thought of the positive and thought, well, geez, at least it didn't spin out on a corner and throw me off and injure me or something like that. So, and thinking, well, it's only going to be something small to repair. It's not worth me worrying about it. And it's easier said than done, though. When you get yourself into a deep, dark hole, trying to do that can be very difficult. One of the biggest issues, Dr. Phil says, he thinks that many people are suffering from some form of mental illness may face, is that they cannot or do not know they have a real choice in reacting to a stressful situation because of the chemical imbalances in their brain. And this is especially true of someone in the psychotic state. I can't stress again enough that we don't have to handle and deal with this on our own. If you've got somebody there that you can trust that isn't going to suddenly say, oh, well, let's send you here or let's take you there. It's important that you do what's best for you, what you need at that point that isn't going to cause you more anxiety, but also understanding that maybe you might want to have a verbal or written agreement with a friend or a family member, whoever that happens to be, that you might choose to say, I guess it's a bit like a wrap plan, to say, if I do become unwell and I can't do things for myself, this is the process I'd like to go through. And that then puts you under the control of, or should I say the guidance of, a well and truly trusted friend who's going to take you under their wing. And let the people that need to know within your family know once you've got through that initial trauma, because I know that can be half the scary thing is, my God, what if my family find out? And if it's a first-time diagnosis, there's that real fear of losing a family, and that happened to me going through the whole coming out stage way back in 1992, and it was that real fear of, my God, are my family going to accept me or shun me? Very, very scary place to be, because you risk losing those that are closest to you and dearest to you, and you don't know how they're going to react. Thankfully, mine were okay, but and things are better nowadays, but I think that's a lot of the thing, is what's going on in their head is how are these other people going to react to what we've got to share with them. So I'm going to give you, after all that heavy load, a song here that I've just finished watching a series of three Netflix movies, really quite good actually, and it's called, well, the first one's called To All the Boys I've Loved Before, the second one is To All the Boys P.S. I Still Love You, and the third one that the song comes from is To All the Boys Always and Forget Forever. The basic premise of the story was, of course, the girl that she wrote five love letters to five people she'd had crushes on at school, and her younger sister decided she was going to be a bit naughty, and she sent the letters off to the individuals concerned, but she changed the letters around so that it created a real storm, and it unfolds from there. So if you've got Netflix or someone that's got Netflix, grab some popcorn or whatever you want to have and go around and watch them. I watched them over a few days and It's just quite lighthearted entertainment, quite enjoyable. Anyway, this song comes from the third chapter, which is To All the Boys Always and Forever, and the song is by Leah Noble. It came out in 2020, and it's called Beginning, Middle, End. Planet FM, you are with Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting live 12:30 to 1:30 every Tuesday. I'm Declan Curran, standing in. I moved from the cheap seats and got an upgrade into Sheldon's seat. Well, sort of still in the same seat, but I'm running the show on my own because Sheldon Brown is taking a bit of a spell out with some things that he needs to attend to. So getting back to better days, I was telling you about seeking psychotherapy and counselling, and one of the other things it says to talk to your doctor about medication. Some depression, anxiety and most psychosis have an organic cause, which means they can be helped at least in part biologically. Hormone levels need to be examined and neurotransmitters should be measured. Even psychosis may be the result of a thyroid problem or chemical imbalances in some people's brains. Even if the causes are primarily situational, such as extended grief or trauma, medication taken under a doctor's care can be what you need to get unstuck. And I think it's working out what works best for you. Do identify de-stressing activities that enhance self-care. The primary agent for help of a mental disorder is the person themselves, so it's extremely important to figure out ways to strengthen coping skills. If there are stresses present that can be eliminated even for a short time, it's very helpful for the person to be relieved of those stresses for a time in order to rehearse more applicable coping skills. Do support creative, constructive activities that enhance self-worth. The immediate result of being overwhelmed is the destruction of self-worth. So explore activities that bring new strength to self-esteem and shore up the persistent loss of confidence. Do express an interest in others. If you have a friend or loved one who is depressed or anxious, try to express interest in them. Talking about mental illness isn't easy, and approaching another person about mental issues can be a touchy subject. It can seem intrusive, and that may very well resist you, but you can also be saving their life. Think of it as the first step in getting the communication going, and no matter how awkward you feel, give it a try. You'll see how serious their mental state is and maybe get a clue as to how you can help them get on the road to recovery. What to say? Start off with, "You're obviously unhappy and having a tough time right now, and I'm concerned. I want to understand what you're going through so I can support you." I would probably come in with, "Are you okay?" I think is probably, I don't like using the word "you." "You're obviously this." You know, it's like, well, how do you know? You know, you're telling me what I am. Do break a sweat. One of the big problems with mental illness is the feeling of being stuck. So it's talking in here about exercising, especially rhythmic exercise can be powerful theory in battling the stuckness. Physical exercise increases the oxygen to the brain and improves the flow of feel-good brain chemicals called endorphins, and it harmonizes your organs with your brain. In my opinion, he says, he's found the results of exercise to be comparable to those of taking certain medications, although you should talk to your physician before making any changes to your treatment plan. It says, do explore or ask your therapist about media and art therapy, and we've talked about that a little bit earlier in the show, about people that are doing all their artistic things, trying art and music therapy. So joining a group too can be good, because you've got something to focus on outside of yourself, which is always a good thing. Not that I'm saying it's bad, you've got to be self-indulgent. I mean, chocolate, sitting in that cupboard at night, how many times have you broken off a strip of that and thought, oh, I'll just have one more. I'm terrible like that. Forget a pack of biscuits and I'm watching TV, I'll just have one more, I'll have one more. Hang on, there's no one more's left. Oh, you pig. Okay. At least I didn't give any to the cat, so I guess that's good. I'm not supposed to anyway, eh? You feed chocolate to animals. And it says, do learn to breathe correctly. And that's something we do, as it says, 100 times a day, but most of us do it wrong. And they talk about breathing sort of deep from the stomach. I have trouble breathing at the best of times, even just through my nose, let alone anywhere else. And do explore desensitization. Okay, it's the process that helps you separate an event from your fear of it. So I guess that's, get back to that 90% of what we're worrying about isn't going to happen, 5% is going to happen anyway, and the other 5% we can change. And on that cheery note, I'm going to slip in my last track before I come back and finish a few little goodies off on that. I refer to him as Bebo. Justin Bieber. I know it's naughty, but hey, I'm terrible like that. And it also features Chance the Rapper. The song is called Holy, but it just doesn't have the dots between the H-O-L-Y. And this particular track in the UK hit number 7 and US number 3. It's really getting heavy rotation at the moment on the station in Cairns. I'm hearing it multiple times a day. It's Holy, it's Justin Bieber. You're with Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, 104.6 Planet FM, broadcasting live Tuesdays 12:30 through to 1:30.
I hear a lot about sinners. Don't think that I'll be a saint, but I might go down to the river, 'cause the way that the sky opens up when we touch it, it's making me say that the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, stop. drama. And no, I can't stand it being fake. No, 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 no. I don't believe in nirvana. But the way that we love in the night gave me life, baby. I can't explain it. The way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Feels so holy, 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 holy. Oh God, running to the altar like a track star. Can't wait another second. There's a way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Feels so holy. Say we're too young and the pimps and the players say don't go crushing. Wise men say fools rushing, but I don't know. They say we're too young and the pimps and the players say don't go crushing. Wise men say fools rushing, but I don't know.
The rapper.
The first step pleases the father. Might be the hardest to take. When you come out of the water,
I'm a believer, my heart is fleshy. Life is short with a temper, like Joe Pesci. They always come and sing your praises, your name is catchy. But they don't see you how I see you, Parlay and Desi. Cross tween, tween, Hesse, hit the jet ski. When they get messy, go lefty, like Lionel Messi. Let's take a trip and get the Vespas, or rent a jet ski. I know the spots that got the best weed, we going next week. I wanna honor you. Rise groom, I'm my father's child. I know when the son takes the first step, the father's yes. proud. If you make it to the water, he'll part the clouds. I know he made you a snack like Oscar Proud. Suffer it to be so now, gotta clean it up. Formalize the union and communion he could trust. I know I ain't leaving you like I know he ain't leaving us. I know we believe in God and I know God believes in us.
You hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Feel so holy, 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 holy.
My goodness, hasn't he come a long way from being that scraggy, skinny little teen bopping around on the stage going, look at me, look at me, look at me. Anyway, that was Justin Bieber with Holy. Are we just about ready to wind up? Well, I am anyway, so I know what Sheldon's up to out there. Don't forget you can text or phone 1737 if you need any assistance with anything. I'm going to leave you with a couple of different numbers as well. Today there is a number I want to give you for an organisation called Supporting Families in Mental Illness, in case you are someone out there listening who is concerned about somebody. 0800 732 825. That's 0800 732 825. And the other one is the Depression Helpline, and that is on 0800 111 757, or you can text 4202. They're on the website on depression.org.nz. So that's us for another week. Sheldon, hopefully we'll come back, go and keep warm, do all the usual bits and bobs that you want to do. Jono, you're listening in the UK on Jersey, stuck in quarantine. We're in number one, haha. Talk to you in a few days, eh? Now go to bed. Alrighty, we'll see you next week, guys.